Today on Real Radio.
God has given us as Christians the ability to forgive other people for chief reasons. One of them is that you, the one who has sinned against, can continue living a healthy, beautiful, strong, vibrant Christian life. You understand, forgiveness is not for the other guy. Forgiveness is to set you free.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the first 10 verses of chapter 17, which reveal more of the Messiah's teachings. And, in modern vernacular, we say that his followers are Christian. Well, exactly what or who is truly Christian? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Real Christians Look Like.
The world thinks and the world wants to think that every Christian's a goofball. Every Christian doesn't know what they believe. Every Christian cannot defend what they believe. Jesus says concerning those in the name of Christ who have offended the witness of Christ, Jesus says something very serious to them. He says there in the latter end of verse 1, woe to him through whom these offenses come. If somebody were to set up a stumbling block, the word offenses also means to set something up that causes someone to trip and to fall. A new believer might be so excited about Jesus growing and learning the Bible and coming to church, and they sit down and they hear someone in front of them gossiping about another Christian. And this brand new person, brand new to Jesus, thinks that everyone's brand new, when in reality the person or the people in front of them gossiping may not be Christians at all. But that offends people. Jesus says, woe. The word woe here is a tremendous word. It means that this person is in a grave situation, that this person is in a very, very dangerous place. The word also means that this person can be condemned who causes someone to fall or to trip up. Christians are not to be offensive. Do we stand for truth? Yes. Do we stand for truth passionately with all of our hearts, Bibles open? Yes. But do we stand lovingly? Yes. Just because you stand for the truth doesn't mean you're not loving. Just because you stand for the truth doesn't make you offensive. Now, there is a verse in the Bible that says that the preaching of the cross is an offense. But that's in a whole different context. People will hear the cross, the message of the cross, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And the moment they either ask the question, why did Jesus die, or they hear Jesus died on the cross for our sins, they're offended. Because the cross implies we need saving, and people don't want to hear that. You tell me about the cross, they get upset about the cross. Because it means someone had to die, and that someone was Jesus Christ. And that's offensive to people. That's not the type of offense we're talking about. The type of offense we're talking about is a stumbling whereby we sin in the ears or in the eyes or in the presence of someone and it trips up their faith. I'm going to give you four areas that great sin is being committed in our day, in our world, around us, that cause people to trip up. And I think you ought to write them down, especially the first one. The first one I'm very passionate about, and that is the offense that comes. Jesus says, woe to the person who brings an offense. Well, this first one is one of intellectual offense. You would hope that you wrap your kid up or your college student up and send them off to school, and they're actually going to learn history or learn about reading or learn about whatever it is to better themselves and to prepare them for work and for a job and for a career. But unfortunately, our areas of higher education today, there is so much insanity being spewed out from the desks or from the mouths of college professors, I cannot believe it. And it's supposed to be some area of intellectual superiority as they pontificate these ludicrous things that have nothing to do about what this child or what this family or what the system's paying them about. Students in this church, in college classes, not a sexuality class, but the teacher sees it fit to express his view about what style of sexual preferences that he wants to engage in a class that has nothing to do with that. What in the world is going on? But then when you challenge them, oh, you must be a Christian, right? And they mock the believer. There's an intellectual setting whereby offenses come and Christians are mocked and made fun of just because they'll stand up against immorality or against an aberrant life or against, in my opinion, lunacy. The Bible says to watch out in Romans chapter 1 that there will be those in the last days professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools. There's an intellectual raping that's taking place among people today. And Jesus said, I'm not going to hold that person guiltless who offends such people. He says, woe unto them. And then there's the criminally minded, the offense that comes from them. Those that just can't obey the rules. They've got to push everything. And this often comes around with younger people. Not always, but younger people. And they push the envelope. They try to entice and coerce others to come along with them in their sin and in their violence or in their mayhem. Have you noticed that? Look, I know some of us are getting older and all that stuff, but we all remember it's the same in human culture. It's the same. That when you and I were younger, there were always those enticing us. Come on, come on. Just come with us. Come on. I know somebody who wanted a ride home. He was at a party. He wanted a ride home. His ride had left him at this party. And he said, hey, is anybody heading this way? And some guy said, yeah, we're going that way. He said, can I have a ride with you? Yeah, sure. He gets in the car. And en route to them getting to their town, these guys in the front seat decide to rob a convenience store. Well, guess what? They got caught and they all went to jail. Even the poor guy who just wanted a ride home. There is the criminally minded that causes people to be offended. Everything's dirty. The Bible says to them who are filthy, everything's filthy. They, you know, you and I look at a cloud in the sky and say, doesn't that look like a dog? Look at that, it looks like Mickey Mouse. We've all done that, haven't we? Look at that, that looks like a funny face. To those that are filthy minded, everything's filthy. They spew this stuff. Or I can take advantage of that guy. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they often corrupt people. That's prevalent in our world today. And then I look at this one as what I call the prophets of pulp culture. They're the shapers of young girls' minds and attitudes and young boys' minds and attitudes, what they wear, what they say. I think of the things, think about this. God says, woe to those who cause people to stumble. And I think for a moment, just one life, I remember, and now maybe she's ancient history by now. I don't keep up with what's going on. But there used to be a woman that was famous by the name of Britney Spears. And she influenced girls to wear exactly what she was wearing, to say exactly what she was saying, and polluted an entire generation of young people. In my day, it was the Madonna types. On and on it goes. We're the pulp culture prophets, and they cause people to stumble. And somebody will listen to their music or hear that thing or read that article, and they'll go do the same thing. Jesus says, woe to them. And then maybe the most dangerous of all is the progressive religionists. Jesus says, woe to them. A person that is of a progressive religionist life is one who is all dressed up in religiosity, maybe even has the Bible open, and in the name of religion, using the name of God, begins to communicate to people things that are not even in the Bible, things that exactly are opposite to what God says, and because the culture they live in, they see it as a moving target, a changing kaleidoscope, as it were, that we can make up the rules as we go along. They do it all in the name of religion, and offend an entire generation of people to that what is Christian can't even be found out anymore. And you go to churches without Bibles. I was at a church in Germany visiting. I was not speaking there. We just went into a church in Germany, a famous church. And in that church, they were going to be studying chapter by chapter the book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? It was a Sunday morning. Lay down the Bible, pick up books of men. Watch out. Sin being reinterpreted, salvation, all these things being redone. Jesus said, watch out for these things. The Christian, though stands for truth, will not be offensive, will not be rude. Secondly, what does a real Christian look like who's living in a foreign land? A real Christian will not be destructive. Look at verse 2. Jesus said, it would be better for this person if a millstone, oh my goodness, mark it, it would be better. What would be better? It would be better for this guy if a millstone was hung around his neck. That's 2,000 pounds, a millstone. If you've been with us to Israel, they're huge. Jesus said, it's better. If somebody causes someone else to no longer have faith, what would be better is for this person to take a millstone, tie it around his neck, and go down to the Huntington Beach Pier and throw it over the water and go down to the bottom. Jesus says, that's better. Yikes. Better than, oh yeah, Jesus is saying, listen, in the day of judgment, for those whose faith have been ravaged by attackers, false prophets, in the day of judgment, it's going to be better for that person if he would have just thrown himself into the ocean. This is serious stuff. General Jesus is giving commands, to be honest with you. These are serious commands. A true Christian will not be destructive. We won't have to worry about a millstone being strapped around our neck. There's nothing more dear to us than for you to have faith in God. And you say, yeah, but Pastor, listen, what if I don't put my faith in God? Are you going to kill me? No, we're not going to kill you. In fact, listen, if you don't want to put your faith in God, that is completely your business. We love you anyway. If you get a flat tire on the highway, we're still going to pull over and help you. If you don't want anything to do with our God, you don't have to have anything to do with our God. This is not compulsion. You don't want Christ? You don't have to have Christ. We'll still feed you. We'll still take care of you. But we love you, and we want you to know Christ. The real Christian's not destructive. And then thirdly, under this point, what real Christians look like being strangers in a foreign land. Verse 2 teaches us that the real Christian is not of this world. Aren't you glad? Can all the Christians right now say amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but I am not of this world. I live here. I look like I'm from here. But I am en route. Back in the hippie days in Orange County, we were just passing through. Remember that? Remember the hippie pictures? The guy's foot was like this, just passing through. That's only true about the life of the Christian. We're just passing through. Isn't it funny? We take such a strong hold onto this world. Oh, look what I got. Dude, are you so funny? So you got it right now. It doesn't mean you're going to have it tomorrow. Man, I won the lotto. Dude, you're going to be taxed out of your mind, and most 74% of people wind up having ruined lives after they win the lotto. The truth of the matter is we are not of this world. In Romans 14:13, Paul the Apostle says, let us not judge one another. Well, I love that. But rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. You guys, it's a little kind of funny. That statement, Paul is saying this, it's serious but funny at the same time. Paul is saying, what kind of a Christian would go along the way on a path and let the sun go down and a well-used path and put up a trip line and hide in the bushes and as people come by, pull the line and trip people and laugh. Oh, look at him. Oh man, that guy fell down. Paul says, you're not, what are you, crazy? You're not to do that. You're not to act like that. You don't live life in such a way that people are tripped up. We're not of this world. True Christians love heaven. But listen, because we're going there, because our God is real, look, can I say this without somebody being offended? I don't know everybody in this room. But from one end of the sanctuary to the other, that's 260 feet that way and 105 feet that way, maybe not everyone in this room is a Christian. It's possible someone in here is not a Christian. And that person is looking and watching all the rest of us. And guess what? They should, don't you think? You should judge us. You, as a non-Christian, you get to judge us. I thought you just said that we're not to judge one another. Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you made that observation. Christians are not to judge one another. Yeah, but Pastor Jack, what if I see my brother who's a Christian and he's sinning? Well, we're going to talk about that in a second. You certainly go to him in love and you reach out to him. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the Christian judging one another, the word is we are not to condemn one another. And you say, Jack, I would never do that. Don't you think maybe that when you gossip about somebody else and you say, well, did you know what Betty did and what Johnny did and what Susie did and what... Don't you think maybe talking to another Christian, you are assassinating that person that you're speaking about? Jesus says, whoa, watch out. Point number two this morning, what real Christians look like, is found in verses 3-6. They look like people ready to forgive. Did you know that? I love this. You guys, I got to tell you something. I love the fact, everyone listen, I love the fact that God has commanded the Christian to forgive one another. You want to know why? Please understand this. Do I have your attention, everyone? Are you with me? This is the cool thing. You think for a moment, I know how you think because I think the same way. I am not going to forgive him. I am not going to forgive her. Why not? You don't know what they've done to me. The grief they've caused me. Hey, listen. God has given us, as Christians, the ability to forgive other people for chief reasons. One of them is that you, the one who has sinned against, can continue living a healthy, beautiful, strong, vibrant Christian life. You understand, forgiveness is not for the other guy. Forgiveness is to set you free. Have you misunderstood that all your life? Have you been withholding forgiveness to your son or to your daughter or to your mom or to your dad or to your boss or to whoever? Have you been withholding forgiveness thinking that you're winning? Are you crazy? Are you funny? You've been ripping yourself off. Listen, right away, issue forgiveness to someone. See, Jack, I'd love to, but I don't know if I have the power to do that. I want to do that, but they keep driving me crazy. What if you live with that person? What if you're married to that person? Oh, yes. The Christian is ready to forgive, except in the marriage. I don't see any fine print there anywhere. The real Christian, number one, is vigilant. Will you write that down? Vigilant about what's right. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. Mark it in your Bible. The word means watch out for yourself first that you don't mess up. Take heed. Watch out. Be on guard to yourself. Here it comes. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Oh, I like that part. Oh, yeah. Come here. What? I'm going to rebuke you. No. No one has the right to rebuke. Some people think they have the ministry of rebuking. Isn't it funny? I have the ministry of condemnation. Come here. No one's got the ministry of rebuking. Every Christian has the responsibility to rebuke a brother or a sister who's sinning. Watch this. Note it. If a brother sins against who? Yeah, us personally, you, me. Go to him. You don't get on the phone and say, you know what he did to me? You don't do a mass mail out or a... No. Your sin in that moment is greater than probably the sin that that person sinned against you. So check this out. Jesus says, here you go, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. The word here... To repent is to change his mind, the man or the woman, the husband or the wife, the child or the parent says, I'm sorry, it was wrong of me, you're right, thank you for pointing that out, I was wrong, and I'm sorry that I hurt you. Instantly, look at the word, repent, forgive. You see that word forgive? You and I love that word when you and I need forgiveness. The real Christian loves to forgive. Until you give it up, until you learn to forgive, you're going to hold on and you will cause a rot to take control of your life that will destroy your Christian witness and your Christian example. In fact, Jesus said to the Christian, don't you know that if you do not forgive your brother, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you? That doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. It means that God's not talking to you. You're in the family, but if you withhold forgiveness, God says, I'm not speaking to you anymore. I'm not talking to you. God says, Jesus says, the Bible says, go and get forgiveness from your brother, then come and I'll talk to you. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. 1 John 1 verses 5 through 9. Set the record straight first. Go to your brother. Then God will speak to you. There's too many Christians living a life today, and God's not speaking to them. They don't hear God's voice. Their life doesn't matter, doesn't change anything. They're not salt and light. They don't make any difference. But they're Christians. They believe Jesus died on the cross for them, rose again from the dead, but they're sterile. They can't reproduce. What does a real Christian look like? A real Christian reproduces what? More Christians. God calls his sheep the sheep of his pasture. You ever seen what happened when happy sheep? Happy sheep make more sheep. Remember getting back to the zoo thing? It's a big deal. Oh, here we are. A panda bear is going to be born at the zoo. A panda bear is going to be born at the zoo. Well, there a lot of stuff went on before the panda was born at the zoo. There was a lot of fellowship. There's a lot of panda talk. There's a lot of panda hugging and panda loving. And that's how baby pandas come into the zoo. And Christians are the same way. Fellowshipping together, loving on one another. People start on the outside looking in. Hey, let me in. I want some of that. You guys are loving on each other, forgiving one another. I want some of that. You know what? Go find the perfect church. I challenge you. When you find it, you call me and I'll be there with you. The problem is, the moment you and I show up to that perfect church somewhere, we ruin it by showing up. There is no perfect church. Yeah, how come? If God's perfect, then how come there isn't a perfect church? Because God is perfect and everything else is not. And man, we are sinners, let me remind you, that in the midst of all the lunacy that takes place, you know what's greater to God than everybody looking kind of perfect and being apparently perfect is that his word be obeyed. And the greatest thing is that we forgive one another for Christ's sake, as Christ has forgiven us, so we forgive one another.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called What Real Christians Look Like. It's a look at the first 10 verses of Luke 17, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, if you haven't logged on to realradioactive.org lately, we invite you to pay us a visit. You'll find our newly formatted website easy to navigate. Just point and click for podcasts, MP3s, recent broadcasts of Real Radio. We have resources, special offers, even local events in Southern California, our nation, and beyond that affect us all as believers. The new realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.